I'd like to take up with you today the special data sheet of the advanced course and go over once more some of the manifestations of pre-clears processing. You understand that SOP-8C, just as it is, just as it appears in issue 24G of the Journal of Scientology, is quite adequate for your book auditor. Remember that the process given here, which we're now calling advanced course procedure, is for a very well-trained auditor. It requires judgment, discernment, and it's dealing with the most basic basics of aberration, and therefore it can be supposed that you could get a PC into trouble with this. You sure can. You sure can. Let's say, for instance, that we run Where Mama's Universe is Safe for a short time, and our PC starts coming down with a horrendous somatic, stomach somatic, or something of the sort. And we go on running Where Mama's Universe is some more, and some more, and some more, and there's no let-up on the somatic. Well, a lot of things could have happened. Of course, they shouldn't have happened, but they could happen. All right, let's take this process in the hands of some... Let's change it all around, run it backwards while standing on our head auditor who doesn't know anything about what he's doing in the field, and his pre-clear says to everybody, well, yes, I had Scientology run on me and it didn't work. It made me awful sick and that was all there is to it. Well, I know that sounds snide and uncharitable, but it happens about 24 hours a day, the length and breadth of the land. Somebody comes along, gets a wild idea, runs it on some PC, makes him real sick, and says, this is Scientology. Well, the hell it is. It isn't. Scientology is a process for bringing up the knowingness level of individuals and making them well. Scientology consists of processes which defeat the one thing which man has never defeated up to this time, and that's insanity and aberration. All right, if the processes which are used are not those processes which have been codified, tested, and which are recognized as Scientology, then it isn't Scientology the fellow's running. It's experimental Scientology. And he should say so. He's going to run something weird and incredible or very short of his understanding. He should tell the pre-clear. He should be honest enough to tell the pre-clear this is just very experimental. This is parascientology, very experimental. And so, when we get into where things are safe, things like that, long-running process brings up people to levels that you never saw people brought to before. At the same time, run wrong, it can make a pre-clear ill. Now, let's not skip that one. You can start running it in such a way, such a sloppy way, that it will reduce a pre-clear's havingness down to zero. Well, this is very, very hard on a pre-clear who can't have anything in the first place. We run his havingness down to zero and sort of throw him out the window and say, well, Scientology didn't work in that one. The auditor didn't work. So that's why advanced course procedure is advanced course procedure. And why SOP-8C is 8C. You can't get in much trouble with 8C. Of course, you can with 8C. Reduce somebody's havingness too, but not to the tremendous degree that you can with this. You see, what could happen here with running this type of procedure is to take some individual who is not even vaguely ready to have anything rough run on him. He's still groping around. He's not a what wall case or a what universe case. Even we had to invent a new case with the last unit. There were so many people in Los Angeles here, we had to call it a what fog case. But these individuals who are groping are not ready to have a desperate procedure run on them, really. They're not. They're fumbling around and stumbling around and falling on their faces. You try to give them a little command like, well, you say... let's remember something real. If you use that on them, you'd say, all right, now let's see if we can recall something real. 15 minutes later, the guy's still fishing. You're going to run something tough like universe processing on him. Well, I tell you, his havingness is down to practically nothing already. And you just ask him to locate a couple of objects someplace, and away he goes. He just feels, he'll get sick at his stomach. He'll feel very, very, very upset indeed. In the first place, when you say, let's find a couple of places where your mother is safe, he probably finds a couple of places where he wishes his mother was dead. You see, if it took him 3 minutes, 2 minutes, or even 20 seconds to remember something real, he is not in good enough communication to be able to interpret and follow your auditing command. You see that? I mean, here's the most obvious thing in the world. If a fellow's got a tremendously long communication lag, his ingoing communication is just as long as his outgoing communication because it's going more or less on the same route. His reaction time would act something like this. He'd be driving down the road and somebody would say to him, look out for that truck. What truck? Crash. Now, people run along on the shallow patter of civilization. Somebody comes along, how are you? I'm fine. So forth. They've got a bunch of very pat short circuits. You see, they work. Somebody says, come to dinner, and something like that. They come in to dinner. They go back and forth. In other words, they do the routine things. But the second that they get something which requires in itself an individualized interpretation, their communication lag is right there. Up to that time, they're just operating as a civilized machine. That's all. They might as well have wires and coils on them. Somebody says hello to them on the street. They say hello. Somebody says that will be $2. They pay $2. It's the most shocking thing in the world. Get somebody who's fairly well upscale and say, all right, now let's find somebody whose opinion of you you'd like to change. Oh, I couldn't do that. It'd interfere with his self-determinism. You say, all right, be self-determinism. And the fellow looks at you blankly and says, what self-determinism? In largest measure in this society, we go around wonderfully safeguarding the sanity and reaction of machines. The guy is hardly there at all. All right, you take one of these cases and you start to run a process which requires interpretation, and we get immediate trouble because he isn't interpreting what you're saying at all. Now, you have to be clever enough as an auditor, one, to recognize a communication lag when you see one, two, realize that that means that the incapability of interpretation is very great, and three, to know what process to apply at that moment. The process to apply at that moment is probably something on the order. They're very simple processes. That's why everybody ignores them and overlooks them. It takes a simple process to resolve a complicated case. That is the little backwards factor in all auditing. You know, you don't take a screaming psychotic and give him an electric shock and have him get well. Even the psychiatrist knows that if people were never electric shocked in sanitariums, they would get out of the sanitarium on the average 3 weeks earlier. Now, the psychiatrist will sit right in their buckets of blood there and tell you, oh, yes, they didn't electric shock anybody. Everybody get out of here sooner. You say, why do you electric shock somebody? Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Who said you were supposed to do it? Well, do you know that if you didn't electric shock them, you could be tried for malpractice? What do you mean? You mean it doesn't do any good, though? Well, no. Keeps them from being so frantic. You're dealing with the same kind of reasoning that you're dealing with on your worse-off preclears. Your preclears who are stumbling around have got everything identified with everything. They're actually incapable of free reason. They're identifying everything with everything. You ask them something reasonable, you ask them to make a determination that is reasonable, and oh no, it's impossible. They identify this with that with something else. Now, what is the basic mechanism of this? Well, we run into that over here when we go into beingness processing. Now, beingness processing is something which is very easy to run on somebody who's exteriorized and is very, very, very rough on a case that is still interiorized. And you get somebody into one of these beingnesses, something he's being compulsively, obsessively, and boy, if you ever saw identified thinking, glug. Let's ask him what he can be, and the first thing you know, we find out that he can be a hat. And at this moment, anything that sounds like reason to you shuts down. That's because everything is identified with everything else. Well, sanity is differentiation, the ability to differentiate. The better a person can differentiate, the more rational, the saner, the more able, the more capable of motion he is. The better he can differentiate, the better off he is. The more he identifies, the worse off he is. So identification is down toward solid matter. And as far as differentiation is concerned in space, it is up toward nice, clear, open space. It's just as simple as that. So we get somebody down toward a hard object, and he does. You'll just see him do this very trick. This is the most phenomenal thing in the world, that we could just reach into somebody's head and demonstrate all categories of thinkingness. We can. We demonstrate to him, for instance, that while he is being a heavy piece of energy, he, of course, is not thinking well. This is obvious to him. And yet all of his life he has been hounding himself to get along the line. He wants to be a capitalist, or he wants to be something. He wants to arrive. He's got to arrive compulsively. Yet he doesn't dare arrive, because if he arrived at any moment, he would find himself being one of these heavy pieces of energy of one kind or another, and he, of course, be as stupid as they come. Here is your contest on people who are having a hard time, who are doing a lot of figure. They're trying to become something. They know they have to become something so they can be identified. And they're trying to become this thing, and while they're busily becoming this thing, they know very well they better not become anything. So they finally fall into a sort of an in-between category where they keep saying they're going to arrive, and they never arrive at all. And this actually is a thinking machine at work. A thinking machine performs on this basis. It says, here are all the points we've got to arrive and all the reasons we mustn't arrive there. And that's all a thinking machine is doing. It's look at all the past consequences. Every time I became something, oh, brother, this was horrible. So therefore, I better not become anything. So the way I don't become anything is to figure. And yet, all the time, he seems to be figuring on how he must become something. But this, you see, is an inverse thought process. He becomes inverted. He's been so afraid of becoming something for so long that now it reverses on him on a stuck flow basis, and he obsessively has to become something. Anytime you try to process a very famous person or one who has succeeded very well in this universe, you run into this trouble. The individual, for a long, long time, dared not become anything. Well, that was bad enough. But now the flow has switched on him, and he has to become something. A fellow has to be something important or something massive in the ratio that he is not dangerous to his environment. The environment says, look, you're not dangerous to me. And so he swells up. He gets heavy. He gets massive. He gets thick. And he goes, yes, I am too. I am something. Look. What a stupid trick. Then the environment hauls off and really clouts him one. That's the trick of the messed universe. It gets somebody to appear and then makes them try like the devil to withdraw. And it's just an appear-withdraw cycle. You'll find many of your preclears withdrawing. You'll find many of them appearing. You know, you'll find people going around, if you're in a room with TV on, something like that, they'll go and stand in front of the television screen. You know, everybody else trying to see the television screen. And they're standing in front of it. And you finally have to point this out to them. They'll move slightly sideways. What are they doing? They're saying, I'm there. I'm there. They're trying to appear in the universe. They're compulsively trying to appear. They'll do all sorts of things. For instance, they'll go down and run into your car or something like that. That sure says they're there. They'll drop things of yours and make large clatters and noises. Actually, little kids get obsessed this way. People start shoving them away. And finally, the little kid's got to break things and scream and holler and do all sorts of things. All he's doing is saying, I'm there. Well, the manifestation of grief and apathy and so forth, fear, grief, apathy, that's an effort to get away, withdraw, disappear. Now you'll find somebody else who is a self-effacing person, and everybody at the table has been served except one, the self-effacing person. And they've just neglected to pass anything to this person. Actually, this person very often would sit there for a long time before they would offer any remark that would point out the fact that they hadn't been fed. They are always trying to wipe themselves out of the scene. in their worst state, very often you'll hear them say such things as, oh, I know everybody hates me, and I'm sorry I'm alive. Forgive me for living. This kind of a mock-up is just a manifestation of trying to withdraw, once having appeared, you see. You have to have appeared before you withdraw. All right, let's look at this manifestation. We find out that having appeared, they try to withdraw, they get into solid objects. Just as easy as that. They try to withdraw, they're condensing attention. All there is there to do anything with is attention. And when they try to withdraw, they condense attention. And they get pretty doggone dense. You also get stupid. Now, an individual trying to look is actually trying to get space. And an individual trying not to look is accidentally, he doesn't realize it, but he's running into solid objects. So we get this manifestation continually. All right, you start to process some very, very thin, spindly, retiring, self-effacive pre-clear. And you try to get him to put forward one doggone thing, release. If he's trying to withdraw all the time, how can he give up anything? He doesn't want all these things he's holding on to. That's why he's stuck to them. And so he's trying to give up these various items. You try to get him to give up an aberration. He can't. He's withdrawing so hard. He's withdrawing and trying to disappear so hard that he's pulling everything in with him. And you say, give up one lock. How can he do that? He can't. It's stuck right there. Actually, all you have to know about psychoanalysis is psychoanalysis was the effort to get an individual to release one concept or aberration at least. That was the whole goal, really. Just get him to release something. That's it. Now, they rarely succeeded because they just went on pointing out false, false, false until their patient withdrew, 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 and when they got him down to complete solid apathy, why, then they could make him write out the rest of his bank account, and that was all there was to it. When we have a problem in inability to give up, we have a problem in withdrawal. Somebody's withdrawing too hard. And somebody's getting more dense. They're getting thicker, more compact, and so on. Well, of course, there are many cycles of this. As a person tries to appear, he just gets a hold of a lot of objects and slaps them together, and he is the object. And then he tries to get out of being the object, and he makes it more dense, which is quite heartbreaking to some of them. All right, we get this pretty clear. We find out then that he's actually, by the time he's done this, he's getting more stupid all the time. We try to get him to get one lock. You work on him. You work on him hard. You say, now, look here, let's see if we can't remember a time when your mother said something derogatory to you. Let's say we're just straight wiring him old style. He can remember those times, but you know not a darn thing happens to the memory. It doesn't blow. It doesn't relieve. He could remember it hour after hour after hour, and nothing would happen to it. Now, this is your extreme case. A light lock. It won't relieve. Why won't it? Because he knows he can't get rid of anything. He hasn't enough space, you might say, to throw anything into. Well, what would be the answer to this person? Well, let's test such a person. Let's go out and find such a person and discover how he reacts with a light technique, not universe processing. This is too tough for him. He, of course, can't release any of these spots. Let's remember that if he has a long communication lag, he needs a light technique. And the longer the lag, the lighter the process. It's just an inversion. The longer the communication lag, the more he is out of touch with existence, why, the lighter the process is going to take getting back there. Of course, that tells you, of course, it's going to take more time because you're using very light processes. So what? You'll find out that the fastest method of doing it follows that formula. The worse the case, the lighter the process. And you'll actually save time by doing it. You see, you could use desperate measures on him for 5 years without ever achieving any kind of relief. But you could use light measures on him for maybe 5 hours. And if they were light enough, you would actually have entered the case and have done something for the case. Now let's take a look at this case and find out if there's anything to this condensation factor, you know, withdrawing from the world, and the space factor of expanding into the world. Are there anything about these two things? Yes, we find this person who's withdrawing is getting more dense and so forth. It's actually getting more stupid. We can just examine that. The longer the communication lag, the less the IQ. this person is in a thinking machine. They figure. They do all sorts of things. No action. It's all figure. And the figure always ends up to failure, one way or the other. You find these people doing quite irrational things when they get really bad off into this category. Well, our processes here say that that person must be out of space. It's possible he doesn't have any space. All right, let's look this over and see if that's true. And let's take opening procedure. And let's tell this person to locate a spot in space. We get an argument. He doesn't look up and find something like halfway between these two chairs, or find something in the middle of the room, or a spot up next to the ceiling. Oh, no. Second, he puts his attention on any kind of space. It goes over onto an object. Bop. And this person will argue with you. Why do they argue with you? Because every time you try to put their attention on space, it starts up their thinking machine. That's the automatic way of starting a thinking machine. Put the person's attention on space, bang. In goes the thinking machine, because it's the handiest object to the thinking. Attention on emptiness, their attention goes to something. When you try to put their attention on nothing, their attention goes to something. So we have this person walking around. We actually could have sometimes a case like this rather breaks up rather easily with this opening procedure process. We take somebody, he starts locating these things. He has an awful time at first and finally gets better. He may, you know, not let on to you that he's having an awful time. You just sort of have to look at this. And you find out he's better and better at this. After half an hour of it, he can spot places in space. Well, fine, if he can spot places in space, now we could find out where some viewpoints would be safe. But if we didn't bridge that step of getting him to locate spots in space, we wouldn't do a doggone thing for the preclear. Quite on the contrary, we would probably wind up by plowing him in and making him sicker than a dog. Now, all of your mechanisms of avoidance, and this is without exception, this is one of those blanket things, all of your mechanisms of avoidance are a simple manifestation of you try to put the person's attention on emptiness, and their attention goes over onto somethingness. So they don't spot a spot in space, they spot a condition. You say, where would your mother be safe? Supposing you got real careless as an auditor, supposing you just let it all go to hell, and you sat down to audit somebody, you didn't know what their communication lag was, you hadn't examined them at all, investigated them, you didn't try to establish any kind of talk with them, communicate with them, you just started in, you just bullheadedly said, well, we're just going to plow on through with this case, and you said, well, give me some place where your mother's safe. Your pat answer is, of course, well, my mother'd be safe anywhere where my father were guarding her. That's the most obvious manifestation in the world. What'd you do? You told him to put his attention on a spatial spot. Where would your mother be safe? And, of course, he went immediately onto a thinking machine, which gave him a condition. I just told you instantly, this fellow can't spot spots in space. So what would we do with him? We'd run opening procedure. If you kept on trying to get him to spot spots in space, I tell you, you could sit there probably for 10 hours just making the preclear worse. Because he's figure. When you get all through figure, you've probably moved his position in his thinking machine, and you've gotten down here prematurely into the fourth step, beingness processing. And you've gotten him to be even more solid objects than he was being before. Every time you said, find a spot, he went into a solider object. You said, find a spot, he became a solider object. Find a spot. And if you were examining him closely, you would find out that he was being garbage cans and stoves and chimneys, and he was being anything solid he could think of. He was just snapping through this thinking machine one right after the other, finding all these spots and positions where he had become things, or where things, you might say, had won in the race for survival. And he just keeps flicking through the machine, not doing anything for him then. But supposing we went at it the right way. And we said to this individual, you know, we didn't make any preparation. We were careless that day. And we said, where would your mother be safe? Well, she'd be safe anywhere where my father... And you said, here's a condition. Okay. Right there, you'd use some opening procedure. Or you'd have him locate at least some objects in the room. And then see if you couldn't get him to locate some spots in space in the room. You find out that'd be quite a struggle there for a few minutes. And when he's finally able to do that, he says, look, space doesn't bite. I can move out into it. I can get more expansive. And only until he learns that space doesn't bite will he release a lock, because he will only then have space to release a lock into. He can't throw anything away. There's no place to throw anything. It's like somebody in a New York apartment. Now, where's our percentage with auditing then a pre-clear on heavy processes? Well, it just isn't any percentage at all. It's a complete liability. The worst that would happen, of course, is that you would make him desperately ill, possibly ill enough to send him to a hospital. And the least that would happen was that your case had just remained bogged. There are tremendous, actually tremendous, lots of data to back up what I'm telling you. I'm not just talking out of thin air. All right, let's supposing you didn't straighten out the fellow's communication lines at all. He had a long communication lag, and somehow or other you were sleepy that day and you didn't detect it. You didn't notice that he had a long lag. After all, you'd been auditing him maybe for 2 or 3 days, and he hadn't had a long lag for 2 or 3 days, and today, of course, he wouldn't have a long lag either, would he? Uh-oh. Well, he could have sort of slipped on a mental banana peel sometime since the last time you saw him and have landed straight into one of these beingness spots, you know, heavy mass. And his communication lag was very good the last session you gave him. He was doing fine. And you didn't happen to notice that he had about a 15-minute lag when he reported to you. All right, we say to this person, give me a place where your mother will be safe. He thinks to himself, well, I see old Crocker dead or something of the sort. Let's see. She'd be good and dead there. She'd be good and dead there. She'd be good and dead there. Oh, I'm not feeling well. Well, he didn't tell you he was doing this. Anytime you get a communication lag, you get a communication perversion. Did you know that? Anytime you get a communication lag, you get a communication perversion. It's going through too many lines. The reason he has a communication lag is because he can't duplicate. If he can't duplicate, naturally, anything that gets through the line at all is going to come out differently. So when you give him an auditing command, he does something else. I mean, it's just open and shut. Fellow has a 15-second communication lag. You give him an auditing command. It's lead pipe cinch. He's going to do something else. He's going to think he's doing, too, what you said, which is the cute part of it. He's sitting there. He knows he's being so obedient. He knows he's doing just exactly what you said, but you didn't say what he heard. See the liability there. And again, we come out into this basis of space. Space is a viewpoint of dimension. You don't have any space unless you've got a viewpoint.